Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Jesus has called his disciples, and he goes up into the mountain and begins to speak to them. And in these verses that I'm going to read to you, Jesus gives the disciples a recipe for what all of us want here today. Nestled in this sermon on the Mount, it begins in chapter 5, goes all the way through the entirety of chapter number 7. Jesus gives a recipe for what the world wants and has been looking for since Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. He gives a recipe for what I want. He gives us a recipe for happiness. Now, look in verse number 3. He begins with the word blessed. There are several, many times the word blessed is used in the Scripture, but here in this text, it has the same connotation, the same meaning as our word happy. It's used in the Psalms many times. Happy is the man. Happy. This same word is translated in other places using the word happy. 1 Peter verse 4, or chapter 4 verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Jesus said in John 13, 17, if you know these things, happy are ye. I realize in our day, we have made that word superficial. Happiness. Because of our own concepts and feelings of what happiness is and what it means. The word happiness is founded upon that word in the book of Ruth, where the Bible said in Ruth, her hap was to fall upon the field of Boaz. That's where the word happiness comes from, her hap. It means the circumstances and situations was set up to where the field of Boaz was to be where she's going to find her happiness. Someone said that happiness is a bad word according to the way the world uses it, because happiness always depends upon the circumstances and situations around you. Therefore, you rise and fall with the circumstances and situations. Well, I know that's what we brought the word to mean, but the beginning of the word was not that way. The happiness of Ruth was not to rise and fall upon the circumstances and situations of man, but the happiness of Ruth was to fall was to lodge in the happenings of God. Happiness is knowing. Happiness has to do with knowing that God's in charge of the happenings, whatever the happenings are. Whether you want to call them good or bad, you just know God's in charge of the happenings. So you can be happy. If it's raining, you can be happy. If it's sunshining, you can be happy. He gives us this formula because he's interested. Jesus is interested in you being happy this morning. And boy, haven't we been happy. Amen. We could use the word joy in a sense. The word's been used here in song and Brother Ken referred to it, being blessed. Being blessed here. I've just sat over here and wept, and I looked out over the congregation as you wept, and And Brother David was weeping, and your pastor was weeping, and many of you weeping, but we weren't weeping because we were unhappy. I hope you didn't leave out here this morning feeling sad for this crowd. We're happy because of the God of the happenings. Oh, all our reports may not be high and lofty, and there may be some burdens, as has been referred to, on many hearts and some situations that you're going through, but thank God, God is the God of the happenings. And so we weep and cry because we're happy. Jesus wants us to be a happy and a joyful people. And so He gives us this recipe for happiness. Now, I'm not going to tarry long. I want us to look, first of all, at the formula that's in this recipe. Kind of like baking a cake or fixing some kind of a plate for supper, casserole. The recipe involves a formula, different types of ingredients. So, if you like chocolate cake, then you're glad that all the ingredients that make chocolate cake exist. Makes me happy. I get happy when I see chocolate cake, I do. Now, there are some ingredients in chocolate cake that if you gave it to me individually, I don't know if I'd be happy or not. I mean, I just don't believe I could suck up an old egg if you just cracked it and give it to me. I don't believe I can put flour down if you just give it to me. It'd choke me to death. But I'll tell you, get that thing all put together, it makes me happy. But notice His formula for happiness, the ingredients that are in it. Now, we'll take a minute and step down through this. I don't know how far we'll get. It'd be all right. It doesn't make any difference. We just want to look at it. Happy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, we're talking about the ingredients of happiness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, these are not optional. If you're going to have happiness, these are not optional. I mean, if you're going to have the cake, the eggs are not optional. The flour is not optional. Jesus is not offering you happiness according to your recipe. Imagine what my cake would look like. I'm no cook, I'll tell you that. What would your recipe, what would be in your recipe if you were going to make a recipe of happiness? I actually asked some young people and interviewed and some adults as to what would be in their recipe of happiness, what would not be in their recipe of happiness. Well, you just think about it. If right now you were giving the power to formulate the rest of your life and schedule all of your years, your months, your weeks, your days, your hours, and your minutes, not one left out, full and filled with happiness. What would be in your formula? What would not be in your formula? Well, I'll tell you right off, some things that wouldn't be in my formula, one would be disappointments. I mean, if you was going to ask me to stir up a great big life and create a life in the kingdom of happiness, I wouldn't have sickness in it. Would you? I'll tell you something else I wouldn't have either, is bills. Don't make you happy. Some people, I mean, some of the things that you do, and I understand the work. Some of you are working at some places that you really are not happy where you work, and so you might want to get rid of that. Something else I wouldn't have in my kingdom happiness is broken things. I don't like flat tires. I don't like cars that don't start. Windows that are broke. Lawnmowers that won't crank. Do you like those things? I don't like disappointments. I don't like delays. Do you? I don't like red lights. And I don't like people who sit at red lights when they turn green. I don't like Sunday drivers on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. When I've left just in time to get to church and they are looking at the scenery. Now, I'm not the best driver in the world. My wife will vouch for that, but it's not my driving that bothers me. It's yours. I'd get rid of that. I mean, anytime I was going to church, it'd be a clear road all the way. There wouldn't be nobody turning off, no red lights would turn, no green lights would turn red, everything would be just, I just pull right on in. Well, don't that make you happy? I mean, don't it make you happy when you're going to eat and it's, you know, you've waited too late and the place is going to be crowded and you start to pull in and lo and behold, somebody backs out of that number one spot and you pull in. That makes you feel happy, don't it? I'd get rid of delays. Oh, I've already got rid of sickness and boy, I hate them. Don't you hate those delays in the doctor's office? And you have to wait and wait. I'd get rid of any kind of disagreement. Everybody would agree with me. When I preached, every word I'd say, everybody in unison would say, "Amen." That's right. I'd be the best preacher. I'd be the best preacher around. Everybody that talks to me would say, "You know, you're my favorite preacher." Huh? Well, don't look at me like that. Don't that make you happy? People tell you you're the best at what you're doing. They like what you're doing. You've done a great job in what you're doing. Could you imagine creating the world? I mean, a future of such happiness in which nobody disagrees with you. Matter of fact, everybody in the whole world thinks you've got the best idea on everything. Nobody's going to disagree. Your children never disagree. You say to your son, "I think you ought to marry her." He says, "Dad, that's a great idea." You say to your daughter, "I think you ought to marry him." She said, "I don't know why I didn't think of that." Your wife will never disagree with you. She thinks that everything you do is great. Your driving is wonderful. Everything you've ever done. I mean, you just, everything is so, so wonderful. Well, wouldn't that make you happy? I'll tell you what I'd have in my world of happiness. Plenty of money. So I could go anywhere I wanted to go, eat anytime I wanted to eat, buy anything I wanted to buy. Now you're looking at me like I'm some kind of bad person. You don't feel that way? I mean, you don't want to have... I mean... I would have that in my world of happiness. I sure would. One young person said, "In my world, if I created my world of happiness, in my formula, I would be popular. I would be beautiful." Someone else said, "I'd have the freedom to do what I wanted to do. No one else could tell me what to do." I'm talking about your formula. Jesus gives us the only formula for happiness. Have you noticed what's in it? We've just talked about what we would put in ours. I mean, if you hadn't read Jesus' formula for happiness, we've just talked about what would be in ours. Let's be honest about it. Let's be honest. In my formula of happiness, I am not going to go out there in that parking lot and turn the key on that car and it won't start. Because I won't be happy. If That's not in my formula. In my formula of happiness, I am not going to feel chest pains and have to go to some hospital somewhere and spend the day while they're doing... That's not in my formula. In my formula of happiness, I am not going to get the news that one of my children have died in an accident or something of that nature. That's not in my formula. What makes you happy? What would you put in your world of happiness? Let's look at it. And this is the only formula for happiness. The only one. Happy are the poor in spirit. Wait a minute, Jesus. I want to be happy. I always want to be happy. I'm doing all I can do to be happy. Everything I do is for my happiness. Please tell me how to be happy. He said, first of all, you got to get poor in spirit. You know what that word poor means? It means to be totally bankrupt. With no self-ability and a dependence on someone else. Boy, what about that? It has the idea of the prodigal son who's in the far-off country and he has totally expended everything and he is left with nothing inside, outside, anywhere, and he comes back to the father. Not negotiating, but broken. He comes back to the Father, I say, bankrupt in spirit. Those are the only kind of people that God deals with. You can't get saved this morning until you get bankrupt. Until you lose all of your ability and all of your selfish pride, and you realize that if God Almighty doesn't save you, if He doesn't do something for you, it is forever over. Happy is the man who realizes that he is poor in spirit, he is bankrupt, he has no power of his own to succeed. He's totally dependent upon the Lord. You find a man that's totally dependent upon the Lord, you don't have to check his bank account. You don't have to look at the house he lives in, the car he drives. I promise you, you will find a man that's happy. Because it's the formula for happiness. Poor in spirit. Oh God, how we need you. How you are our only hope, our only strength. I don't have any answers. I have no formula of my own. Everything I've ever tried has failed. Lord Jesus, you are my only answer. What a formula for happiness. I'll ask you, are you interested in being happy? Would you still like to be happy? Poor in spirit. It's like it's a progressive state. Look at it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy! I'd have loved to have been around the old prodigal son when he got back to the house. He'd have been a boy. He'd have been a son of happiness. Happiness. Look what he says. Blessed are they that mourn. A formula for happiness. Now this verse includes the entirety of whatever might cause us to grieve or to be brokenhearted. It simply means to be broken in spirit, to bewail, to grieve, to mourn. To mourn over the death of a loved one, to mourn over a sickness, to mourn over a loss of some kind. But it really has an emphasis on the mourning over our sin. And and our condition before God. The man who is poor in spirit is as the prodigal son. He comes empty in himself and totally dependent upon the Father, but yet he is mourning. He doesn't come lighthearted. He doesn't come flippant. He doesn't say, well, you know, Father, I just had a run of bad luck in the far country and I just had a little downtime. No, he comes. Listen at him. As he mourns, he says, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. When you find a man, who is poor in spirit, when you find a man who is bankrupt of self, and you find a man who is broken in spirit, and he mourns before God because of his sin, you're going to find a man that's happy. It's the only recipe. Honey, if you're holding on to your sin, and your waywardnesses, and you're cocky here today, and you've got all the answers, and you've got your life planned out, and nobody else will tell you what to do, and you've got it all made up, you're going to be miserable. Solomon is a perfect example, who was the richest man in the world at that time, the wisest man that ever lived at that time, went everywhere he ever wanted to go, bought everything he ever wanted to buy, married everybody he ever wanted to marry, saw everything he ever wanted to see, and he said, my conclusion of the matter is, it is all vanity! I'm a miserable man! You see, because happiness is an inside work. Oh, thank God for the times that I've been brought to mourning over who I am and my sinful condition. It has brought me into so much happiness. Hey, are you interested in being happy? Now let's look at it. Look at it. Verse 5. Blessed, happy are the meek. The meek. You know, that word meekness means strength under control. Moses was the meekest man. Meekness does not mean weakness. But meekness means humility and the desire, though you're strong enough. You young people, listen to this. Though you may be the biggest one in class, and because you're the biggest one in class, you can bully your way around on the playground, and you can be the first one up to bat because you say you're the first one up to bat. It's strong. But the meek person is the one who's strong enough to be up there first. But he'd rather see everybody else go before him. He doesn't have to be on the top of the totem pole. He doesn't have to control everything. He doesn't have to run the show. He would rather see others out in front of him. That's a good formula for happiness. You still want to be happy when others have got better jobs than you have, others are making more money than you are, others are driving better cars than you are, others are getting bigger offerings than you are, others are preaching more than you are, others. Yeah. Blessed are those who would bow. That's the sense of this meekness. It is the sense of a strong man bowing before someone else and giving them the right of way. Jesus has a formula for happiness. Are you interested in it? If you are, all you've got to do is become bankrupt, broken, and go around bowing. He said, if you do, you're going to get some happiness. And by the way, that word happy there don't just mean happy. It means, oh, happy, happy, happy! Oh, the Lord, happy, happy. I'm just so happy, happy. He said, what are you happy about? You're poor. What do you got to be happy about? You're bankrupt. You're broken. Nobody even hardly knows. You just go around there. You just mingle in the crowd. You don't stand out. Well, you want to be happy? You interested in it? Look at this one. This one intrigues me in verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger. Happy! I remember an old preacher by the name of Joe Parsons, probably impacted my life, did more than any preacher. Put you to sleep 3/4 of the time while he was preaching, but he would, there'd just be that one golden nugget which would be worth staying awake for. He'd change your life. In the little town he lived in, black man used to hang around the square there some days and talk. He said he got to notice him one day when he was downtown. He said the old black fellow said he had a potato and said he done peeled it and he just cutting off pieces, eating a piece of potato. Not cooked, raw potato. Joe said, I went up to him, knew him by name, called his name, said, what you doing? He said, Brother Joe, I was just sitting here thanking the Lord for a good appetite. All he had was an old raw potato, but he had a hunger and an appetite. God, for a good old-fashioned bologna sandwich when the stomach's hungry. You don't have to have delicacies when you're hungry. Thank you, the Lord, for a good appetite. Look at it. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Thirsty. What are they thirsty after? They hunger and they thirst for righteousness. They got a begging spirit. They got the spirit of that woman who was the Gentile that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I got a daughter that was sick. Would you? He said, I can't help you, ma'am. I'm only here to help the kids of the kingdom. Said, I can't throw away the children's food to the dogs. And she got down and started barking and panting. She said, well, would it be possible you got a couple of crumbs? I can't leave here without something. Could you give me a crumb or two? And she left happy because she hungered. And she said, happy are they that are hungry and they that thirst. Are you here this morning just because that it's church time? Or are you here because there is this deep begging spirit in you saying, oh God, I'm hungry today for your presence. I despise to preach to people that are full. I don't care what kind of sermon you got, how fancy it is. Only thing they want is dessert. And it's full. They just say, you might squeeze a little dessert in. But I ain't no dessert preacher. I mean, every now and then I move over in that dessert area, but most time I'm just no beans and taters. But I'm going to tell you something. The way I was raised, as I've mentioned, was here. My dad, an alcoholic, never married after my mother left. I was just a year and a half old. All of us, the kids there, I was the youngest. And there's many a day I'd go home. And there wouldn't be a thing in that house to eat. And I'd look through the cupboards and everything else. And I can remember it so vividly. The one thing we'd always have in that cabinet, I learned to hate it, was a can of lard. And it always had a big picture of a cherry pie on it. I remember that so vividly, Brother David. I thought, oh, man, if I had that cherry pie! I would be so hungry that if I could just get a potato, if I could just get, and there's people around this world like that. But Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to be hungry, I mean, if you want to be happy, the best way to be happy is to get hungry. A spiritual hunger pain that says, Lord, please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. A begging spirit. Who ever thought you could find happiness in bankruptcy, brokenness, bowing, and begging? I will just read through the rest of them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that happy now, he's saying happy, are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, that's a recipe for happiness. Anybody interested in chocolate cake? You do know what's in the chocolate cake. You can't leave any of that out and have a chocolate cake. Is anybody, young people, listen, are you interested in happiness? It won't be in that car. It won't be in turning a certain age. It won't be in finding that boy or finding that girl. Oh, that can be involved in the inner happiness, but what I'm saying is that is not happiness. It won't be in those things, places and people and things. Jesus gives us a recipe. You can't have happiness without this. Brokenness and bankruptcy. You just got to have it to be happy. These are the ingredients of it. Now, two other things. Let me just mention them. This happiness, this formula for happiness that we find here. This recipe of happiness that has this formula in it. This formula of happiness is not. It is also a recipe of faith. We not only see the formula of this recipe, but we see the faith in this recipe. Now understand this. You know what the word paradox means? It means it's contrary to everything that you always thought. A paradox is something that just doesn't add up. And the Christian life is a paradox. You do know that, don't you? Do you know that the way to live is to die? Has anybody told you that? Did you know the way to get is to give? The way to find is to lose? The way to go up is to go down? Huh? But see, Jesus in this Sermon on the Mount, I told you, he goes on over to chapter number 7 and verse number 24. He closes that thing out like he does many other sermons that he preaches in using this matter of hearing. He said, if you can hear this, greatest preacher that ever lived, the Lord Jesus. And he looked at his congregation and he has given them the greatest truths that they'll ever hear. And he says, can you hear this? But he's not talking about the hearing of the ear. He's talking about the hearing of faith. the hearing of faith. And you notice what he is saying here. This is a matter of faith. He said, blessed or happy are the poor. Blessed are they. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that do hunger. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure. Blessed are the pure, the peacemakers. He said, you are happy if you can hear it. If you are unhappy, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Because the happiness that I'm talking about is not a matter of feeling, it's a matter of faith. And that faith in turn will cause you to feel what you've got. He said, you are happy. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you here have under Holy Ghost conviction turned from sin and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, on the basis of the Word of God, I can look at you and say, you are happy. You say, well, I don't feel happy. Because happiness, if you, before you can ever feel it, you've got to face it. Huh? He said, happy are you? Okay, the guy's got to open his billfold. I'm burger in a convict. But by faith, he realizes that God supplies all his needs. And he shouts all through the service. No, he ain't got enough money to buy gas on the way home. Happy are ye? The doctor comes in and says, I'm sorry, but you've got a terminal illness and it's called cancer. And you are a child of God and you have been bankrupt all this time. Anyhow, you have been trusting in the Lord. You have turned to Him. And by faith, you know that you've got a home in heaven and that the Lord is in charge of your life. You are happy! Happy. But he said, if you can hear this, you're like the man that built your house on the rock. But now you've got to be able to hear it. Did you know most things can't be heard by the human ear? They tell me, scientists, I read this the other day, scientists say that the majority of the songs that the birds sing, the human ear never hears. Because the bird sings in such high tones, the human ear can only hear 9 octaves of sounds. Every 8th note, 9.5 octaves. That's all you can hear. Lowness and highness. And the only way, they tell me, I read this just the other day, the only way you can hear a bird sing is it has to sing bass. Now, it doesn't sound bass to you, but it's bass to the bird because that's as low as it can go. And you're only hearing a small percentage of what that bird's singing because most of the songs that it sings higher than bass. And now the scientists have come up with a thing that amplifies their sound so that they can hear amplified the sounds that the natural ear couldn't hear. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever noticed those whistles that they've got? But you can't hear, but you can blow it and the dog will come running. He hears beyond those 9.5 octaves. And you know, I also read that a frog croaks so low that most of the croaking he does, you never hear. But if you happen to hear a frog croak, he's croaking in high tenor. It doesn't sound like high tenor to you, but it's high tenor to the frog because he's so low. Most of the croaking he does is beyond the 9.5 octaves that you can hear. May I say in you that the Word of God is filled with so much joy and so much happiness and so much peace and so much tranquility. The Word of God is filled for you and I. But the problem is, we can't hear it. It's beyond the options of human ear. And we have to have the amplifier of the Holy Ghost to bring it down so we can receive it. Now God, the Holy Ghost, has amplified my heart and said, you're happy, boy. You said, but Lord, I'm broke. He said, you're happy. I'm happy. My faith says I'm happy. And that makes me happy. When my wife bakes that chocolate cake, I don't stand in there and watch all the ingredients she's putting in it. She pulls that out of the oven. My faith says it's all in there. I'm happy. I'm happy. Oh, you've got every reason in the world to be happy if you can only hear it. You're happy, are you? I don't care what you're driving home today. I don't care the house you're driving home to. I don't care the ailments that are in your bodies. I don't care the enemies you have and the persecution you're going through. I don't care what's happening in your family. Happy are you? If you can hear what Jesus said happiness is. The world can't hear that. They're never going to look for happiness in poverty of spirit. They're going to run from mourning. And there ain't no way they're going to step back and let somebody else go before them in meekness. Because we're being told the way to do it is to go to the top first. Take hold of that thing. Step on people. Get out in front! And we've created a kingdom of misery. Because everybody's doing the same thing. And nobody's believing where you can really find it. Recipe is a recipe of faith. Let me just say lastly, the recipe of happiness, oh, Jesus puts it on a level where we can all be happy. If we just follow the recipe. You can bake the cake if you follow the recipe. But you know, I notice there's some fruit in that recipe of happiness. It jumped out at me, Brother Tim, that a lot of what he's saying right there is found in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit. He talks about peace. He talks about peace in that chapter there. He talks about meekness. He talks about meekness in that chapter. You compare them. There's some fruit in that cake. He whipped him up a formula. He put him together a formula of happiness for all mankind that we can all happen. He threw some fruit in there. I used to do some painting, and I went back up in the mountains there of North Carolina. This woman had a smoked out, smoke damage, and I went up there, and God being my witness, they had never had an electric or gas stove. Still had the wood stove there. And this woman had baked what she called a friendship cake in that oven. And I became her friend quick. Hadn't been touched. She set it out on the table. And she said to me, "Sir, I'm just going to leave that on the table. And all week while you're working, you just eat whatever you want." I never heard of a friendship cake. And especially it had fruit in it. I thought, well, I don't know if I like a, you know, I don't know. And I worked on up and decided I'd take me an early break. I cut that friendship cake. Oh, did I get happy? Oh, was I happy? I ate me another one and another one and another one and another one! I ate the whole cake by myself. Oh, was I happy. But now listen. You know where fruit comes from, don't you? You can't produce fruit in and of yourself. And fruit doesn't come under a strain. And fruit doesn't come out of something that's dead. You can no more produce the fruit of the Spirit of meekness and joy and peace and happiness than a fence post can produce an apple. There's got to be some sap rising somewhere. It's got to come from a vine. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you're the branches." And boy, the good sunshine of the Holy Ghost gets a shining on your soul. And your connection to Jesus, as He begins to flow, and the Holy Ghost flows through you, or pull out the branches of your soul. And without the stress and the strain, all of a sudden meekness pops out. And all of a sudden this joy pops out. And all of a sudden all these fruits of peace pops out on you. And it comes through the energy and the production of the Spirit of God. Because I'm going to tell you, there's nobody here today that can produce what Jesus has in this text. You can't produce mourning. It'll be hypocrisy. It'll be imitation. It won't be real. You can't produce peace. You say, well, where does it come from? From the Spirit of Christ living inside you. And the only thing you have to do, listen, to be happy, I'm going to boil it down for you. The only thing you have to do is yield to the flowing of the Spirit of Christ in your life. And the fruit will just come. And as the fruit comes, you'll be happy. Holy Ghost flowing through you, the life of Christ living in you, and the fruit being produced. Fruit. And being happy. Let me ask some, I'll close with this. Oh, He said, it's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The only hope for you, child of God, in happiness is a yielding to Christ in your life. That's the bottom line. The only hope is to turn from yourself and your selfish ways and your selfish desires and your selfish strengths and your selfish appetites and say, Lord, please, would You flow through my life so I can find this happiness that You have promised. But this is a sure-footed recipe. It works every time. I mean, the cake ain't going to go flat on you in this one, honey. It ain't going to break up. It'll work every time. Now, you think about it. If you can be, oh, happy, 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 being dead broke, what's going to make you unhappy? I mean, if you're broke, you're broke. If I can shout all this building being dead broke, what am I going to do with $20 in my pocket? I'm tired of this place apart. Broken before God. Huh? If you can be happy, and boy, the scriptures feel, I wish I had time to read those scriptures so many times that uses those paradoxic phrases where He talks about through much affliction, you rejoiced greatly. If you can be happy and be sick unto death, I mean, the doctor has given you, I tell you, told you that this is it, and you can be happy! What's going to make you unhappy? I mean, the doctor comes in and says, sir, I'm sorry, but you just got probably 15 minutes to live. And you go, whoo-hoo-hoo, praise God. Hallelujah. What's going to make you unhappy? You see, we think the happiness is in this or that and the other thing. You don't have anything to do with it. I mean, you can have it and still be happy. If you realize that it is your brokenness and helplessness and yielding to Christ that makes and creates happiness. And can I say to you, the happiest people in my experiences in life have been those who seem to have the least and hurt the most. They somehow found the vein and the joy of happiness. If you don't mind, Brother Ken, I'm going to have my wife to come to the piano and She hadn't practiced this, but I mentioned to her I might want her to sing a verse of it. Happiness in Christ. A little phrase I come across, a little poem that said, I walked a mile with pleasure, she chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she, but all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Happiness. The songwriter said, happiness is the Lord. I know we've been to the altar and all that. I'm not interested in trying to get you to move or anything, but this morning, somehow, we could just yield to the Holy Ghost and say, Lord, flow through me and produce your spirit of joy and happiness. He's going to sing a song along that line. The Holy Ghost is, if you want that happiness, if you're looking for it beyond the shallowness of this world, maybe you'd like to just come while she sings.